for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 23rd, 1990. Holiday week teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Linda, blessings on you. Bless your throat and your voice. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Romans this morning, chapter 8. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. You know, that music was absolutely beautiful. You know, if I was in Romania this weekend, you may not want this on the tape, Glenn, but I would be, if I was in Romania, I would be celebrating with all the Christians over there Christmas because, or this time of year, because they haven't been able to for many, many years. And in some of those countries where it has been against the law. And you know, I personally see that it's in order all year round to sing, "Oh, come, let us adore Him, for He alone is worthy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And there are things that I believe, this is off the subject of what I want to talk about this morning, but I personally feel that God wants us to be, to do things in order, to get rid of the things that are not right and to embrace the things that are. And, you know, even with everything going on, I think this year has been my normally I don't like this time of year, but I have enjoyed it totally this year. I haven't allowed the merchandising spirit to trouble me. I haven't even, I've hardly been at the mall, but I thought at least still with all of the elements coming in to take away the name of Jesus on all the radio stations right now, whether that element wants it or not, we still hear "Joy to the World" during this time of year. So I appreciate that part, and I'll embrace that part right now for this time of year. I'm not going to embrace some of the other things, but I'm going to embrace that. Praise the Lord. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Now in Romans 8, let's turn there and let's pray. Father, quicken the word to us this morning. Cause it to grow, cause it to take root, cause it to grow, cause it to bear fruit. And Father, I pray that this morning we'll catch a glimpse of what your purposes for us are in it. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in Bible school in 1964, 5, and 6, right towards the end of my Bible school time, I had the privilege of finding a little storefront church about a mile from the Bible school that we used to go by on the bus on our way to the big church downtown and laugh at when we go by this church and see 15 people or less in there. And it was an independent church, so I figured, I was a young Christian, and so I figured because it was an independent church, they had to be in false doctrine. Because I had the opinion at that time that I was in a place, and this is, I'm not kidding, I really thought as a young Christian that I was in a place that had the full revelation of God. And so we used to go by this little storefront church and see just a handful of people, and we'd snicker and snort and laugh, and I would think those poor people are going to miss God because they're in false doctrine. Well, it's interesting how things can change. And 1 year later, I'm still in Bible school, and I have been at my home. I've been living off campus, and I am hungry for God. And I can't understand it because I've already been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I had figured after I got the baptism of the Spirit, I wouldn't be hungry any longer. How many know that when you get the baptism of the Spirit, that just increases your hunger? And so I was living off campus, and at night when I would go to bed, I would lay in bed and I would cry and cry. And God had been quickening the book of Ephesians to me. And He had spoke the word to my spirit that I had never heard preached, body ministry. And He began speaking to me about the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now I'm just a young person. Only kind of churches I've been at are Lutheran and, you know, in Pentecostal churches, not independent churches. And so I hadn't heard anything like this. So I was praying, I'm saying, and I've been reading about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:14. And I said, Lord, I know my hunger would be satisfied if I could have the gifts of the Spirit flowing in my life. So I'm crying every night, praying in tongues at the top of my lungs. And so one day, through some unusual circumstances, I find myself in this little church that I had laughed at for over a year. In fact, I remember I used to go by the pastor's house, and I'd look at, they had a great big house, and I'd go by there on my way to the school, and I saw they had a basketball hoop outside. Now, this is crazy how people think. And I thought, well, they look like they're fairly normal if they play basketball. That was my thinking. So, but I find myself in this little church, and I find that all the, as I'm looking around, and there was maybe 20 of us there. There was about 4 of us from the college that were there that night. And I noticed that they all looked sane, and they began to worship the Lord in a way I had never seen worship before. One would lead out from a chorus here. One would lead out from a chorus there. The organist would lead out with a chorus. The pianist would lead out with a chorus. And I thought, this is the way it's supposed to be. I thought, this is body ministry. And I'm sitting there. I had never heard singing in the Spirit. They began to sing in the Spirit. And I'm just sitting there enjoying this. And then all of a sudden, this man gets up, who I assumed was probably the pastor. And he began to prophesy. And he said, yea, my daughter, I've seen your hunger in your heart, and I've heard your cries in the night, that in the things of God, in the things of the Spirit, you might have a part. Well, I'll tell you, I would never be the same after I received that word of prophecy. I noticed that they had the service taped that night. I called that pastor that week. I was kind of afraid to go to their house, but I thought, I've got to get that prophecy off the tape. That one incident changed the whole direction of my life. A year down the road, God began moving on me, and I began to move out in the gifts of the Spirit. I found that I had had them since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just hadn't had any teaching. I didn't realize that it was God that was moving on me. And I sat in an atmosphere where that kind of thing was encouraged, and it began to develop within me. Now, that's a little bit of my background, but I found out that even with the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life, it still didn't satisfy the hunger. I was still more hungry. And we get a glimpse of the kind of groaning that goes on in the hearts of God's people when we look at Romans 8. And it was in that little church that I had so much of my foundation given to me, more than I even had in Bible school. And I was in that church just a little while, and they would stress Romans 8. I mean, we'd study Romans 8 from every angle. And, of course, the one verse that we talked about and stressed so much was the one in verse 22 of Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, people who have been filled with the Spirit, have had a taste of the Spirit, have had the first fruits of the Spirit, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. Now, this is what I want to talk about this morning, our adoption as sons. When we look at the life of Jesus, we find that his life, I mean, it is an example for us in our Christian life. And there are 3 distinct periods in his life that we can look to. That's all that the Scripture really says about him, is 3 distinct times of his life. And the first time, now we talked about Abraham here for the camp family last Sunday, and we were using Abraham as a type of the way we shouldn't walk. Because although he was a man of faith, he made mistakes. How many know Jesus didn't make any mistakes? His life was perfect from beginning to the time of his ascension. There wasn't one flaw in it. There's not one thing we could look to and say, hey, this isn't right. So this is the perfect example for us. And the first example that we have of Jesus, of course, is in the manger. Being born in a manger. I mean, so we see that, I mean, he was born a baby. He cried. He had to be fed. Believe it or not, he had to have his diapers changed. I mean, he was totally, completely man. He came up the same way that we have come up. Now, in the spirit realm, and if we look at this, and give this a spiritual connotation here, we have been born into the family of God, and there's a time when we are just babes in Christ. Every one of us have at one time or another been a babe in arms in the Lord. And we have had to be nurtured by our mother, just like Jesus was nurtured by his mother Mary. And our mother is the local church that we have been placed in. And we have been in a church, and we have sat under teaching. We have been nourished. We have been fed. We have been given the milk of the Word. We've had our little problems that we've gone through. And ideally, the body of Christ, the church, has been there to help us. And, you know, that's what we're doing when we are here this week at camp. We are helping one another. We are praying for one another. We are encouraging one another, building one another up, so that we will not stay as children. You know, I say that every family and every church needs to have babies. You know? I mean, it's so much fun in a family when a baby comes. You should have seen this place when Daniel and Mary had a baby. I mean, it's still, we just look at that little baby. That little baby doesn't do anything except lay there and smile, and everybody just falls apart. Just what, right? I mean, we're thrilled with that baby. And you know, in this church, we need to have babies every once in a while too. Because, you know, when there's a baby that comes into a family, all the attention collectively should come on that baby to nurture that baby and to see that that baby develops. And in the body of Christ, it should be that way. Babies should be being born all the time in the body of Christ so that we get our attention off ourselves and put our attention on seeing that that baby gets built up, begins to grow. Amen. Now, that little baby that any one of you have given birth to, you've had the privilege of help nurturing up in the natural. I mean, it's a beautiful baby. Everybody's got the most beautiful baby anyway when that baby's born. Or the most beautiful grandbaby or great-grandbaby. There's no baby as beautiful as that one. But I'll tell you something. If 5 years down the road, that baby is just like it was when it was 3 months old, it's no longer a thing of beauty. It becomes a tragedy. And people don't say when they see a five-year-old baby that has never developed, they don't say, oh, what a cute little baby anymore. They begin to feel sorry. And so we see that for each of us, it's never God's intention for us to stay as babes. I mean, Paul says that in his epistles. And I mean, this is so elementary to us. You know, I'd like to throw something out here for you to think about this morning. I was thinking about this week. A lot of times we hear prophecies. And the scripture says that we prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. So, you know, if you want to grow in the gift of prophecy, you know, ask for God to increase your faith. And that word of prophecy will grow in you as well. But we hear prophecies that say, yea, my little children. Now, once in a while, a prophecy like that is appropriate. But it should never stay on that realm. It should never be always, yea, my little children. Because God is calling us to grow up. And He doesn't, I mean, we are His children. But we're going to see we don't stay as in this infant realm, this infancy realm. He calls us to move on up. And as we begin to grow in the Lord, I believe that if there's a prophetic anointing flowing through the body, or flowing through you, that prophetic word is going to grow as you grow in God too. Once in a while you see somebody prophesy that is even beyond, most of the time I think, that you're prophesying beyond, you're seeing something in the Spirit out here, maybe prophesying beyond your experience. So it's not God's will for us to stay as little children. I mean, He says to His disciples, He says, I don't call you, and He had called them servants. He says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And we see there's a greater degree of intimacy there. And we are his little children, but we don't stay little children either. We grow up. And the next time we see Jesus in his life, after it's in the infancy stage, and when the shepherds came and when the wise men came, the next thing time we see him, he is an adolescent. He is 12 years old. The beginning of adolescence. And I want you to hear me. I want you young people to hear me that are here this morning. Jesus, I want you to listen. You know, Jesus experienced every kind of emotion that you have as a young person. He went through the same things. He went through a period when his parents did not understand him. I want you to hear this. And we see him reacting. I mean, he had to have social, physical development. And we see him reacting as a teenager, though he was perfect. Because when he went with his parents to Jerusalem first time and goes to the temple, I mean, he is evidently not paying any attention to his family. And how many know that when you have teenagers, the only person that exists is them? And his folks are looking for him for 3 days, and he's innocent in this, but he's there in the temple talking with the scholars there, and they're amazed at the wisdom that he has, but he doesn't have enough wisdom to know that his parents have been looking for him for 3 days. He evidently slept right there at night, got up in the morning, and kept on talking, oblivious to the things going on around him. And when his folks come, his mother reacts in typical mother fashion, says, "Son, how can you possibly treat us this way?" How many of you have said that to your kid? How can you possibly treat us this way? And he just acts as an adolescent. And he says, well, didn't you know I'd just be about my father's business? I mean, he wasn't being mean. He wasn't being unkind. But, hey, what's the matter here? I'm just doing the work that I've been called to. That is an adolescent reaction. And physically, Jesus reacted as an adolescent. And there's a lot of times as we have walked with God, we have reacted as adolescents right within the church. But you see, that hasn't been totally wrong. We've been ignorant. Our development, we haven't come that far. But thank God, he doesn't call us to stay in that adolescent realm either. There comes a time when we come into maturity. And there was a time when Jesus made his completed his identification with man when he goes down and he lets John the Baptist baptize him in the River Jordan. And we see a declaration that comes from God to Jesus and to the people around at that time when the voice of God comes, when Jesus comes up out of the water, the voice of the Lord comes and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we find that at this point, everything changes and Jesus begins to launch out into 3.5 years of ministry. And he is demonstrating at that point what is also the will of God for us. It says he walked, he did what he heard the Father tell him to do. He healed who the Father told him to heal. He cast out devils. He said only the words that he had heard from the Father. And he was demonstrating what is available for us and the way that we should walk with God. The perfect way that we should walk with God. Now, in the scripture, when the word adoption is used, it is not adoption in the sense that we use it here in America. It does not mean being adopted into a family like we think of it. It has a different idea. To give you an idea of why I say that, look at Romans chapter 9, just turn across the page. He's talking about Israel, his own. And we say that we are Gentiles and we have been adopted in. We haven't been adopted. We've been grafted in, but we are not adopted. It's talking about Israel, and it says, theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory. The covenant, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promise. If we are adopted, then Israel wouldn't have had to be adopted. It says theirs is the adoption of sons. What that is talking about is they have been given a calling, and we have been given a calling this morning, to be placed as full-grown sons in the purposes of God. God is calling us to come a third step, not to stay as children, not to stay as adolescents, but to be placed as mature sons to receive that seal, to be placed in that place of full authority and responsibility. That is what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he mentions a word, and he's the only one that uses it in the New Testament. We see it five times. We see it three times here in Romans. We see it in Galatians, and we see it in Ephesians. It's in Galatians 4, verse 5, and it's in Ephesians 1, 5. I want to tell you something. It doesn't mean just for sons when we're in Christ Jesus. It's for male and female. This isn't at all a sexist place that you occupy. It's a place in the Spirit. And in the Scripture, it says when we are in Christ, there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. We all are partakers of the promise, and we can all come into this place in God. It's been interesting to me to see that as I have walked with the Lord, that there's different ideas that filter down. Every once in a while, they come through. And there are things that if you hear what they say and look at the whole body of Scripture, you know that it can't be right. And one of them is, and I heard this teaching years ago, that only a man could be a son. But we can all be sons this morning, okay? When you were an infant in Jesus, He gave you His nature, and you began to come up in the things of the Lord, begin to get understanding on what is right and what is wrong. You know, when you are a full-grown son, you pretty much should know, and you will know, if you've come to this place, what is right and what is wrong. You don't have to go and pray and pray and pray, wanting to know what is right and what is wrong as far as conduct goes. You should know that as you have walked with the Lord. You should have learned that as a child, right? Are you all with me this morning? Are you excited about this like I am? I hope so. We should know about what's right and what's wrong as children. That's why childhood is so difficult. That's why the twos are so difficult for little kids. I mean, they're learning right then what's right and wrong, and as they go on, they don't need to be told any longer. There's some things we don't have to labor with any longer. We know what is right. We know what is wrong. We come up in maturity in the Lord when we have come into that place of being placed as a mature, full-grown son. There are some things that are already established. We don't need to go back through all of those things again. You look when Paul was writing. We can turn over to the book of over the book of Hebrews. In verse chapter 6 of Hebrews, he's saying, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, go on to maturity. There's some things that we have this tendency to hassle and haggle and go over and over and over again. Things in our walk, doctrines that should be absolutely established in our life. We shouldn't have to go back over them and over them and over them again, but to go on into perfection, go on into maturity. Right? Praise the Lord. Glad you made it. Did you drive in from Nebraska? You know, even as babes, we can know the overcoming power of Jesus. We can. Even when we're babes, you can know the reality of 1 John 4. Let's turn there. 1 John 4, verse 6. We are from God. Now, he's talking about little children here. So, as little children, we can know we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And the Apostle John there is writing about discerning of spirits. As young children, as babes, you can begin to know those things, begin to have understanding on those. That doesn't belong to you when you're way up the road in your spiritual experience. Now, I want to tell you something else. We can go through these stages of our growth with Jesus Christ, and it doesn't have to take 50 years. That's the good part. A lot of times we thought, well, somebody's only 5 years old in the Lord, they can't do certain things or they can't know certain things. But you know, God's timetable is not like our timetable. And in this time, in this day, there is a time of maturity. There is a time of sitting under ministries. There's a time of submitting ourselves to the ministry and all of that. But I'll tell you, you don't have to wait 30, 40 years to begin to move out in the authority of Jesus Christ and even be placed as a son, in my opinion. Today, the time is short. And there are people that are getting saved right now who are beginning to get a revelation and an understanding of things that some of the rest of us have taken 25 years or more to understand and comprehend and grow up in, and are getting a hold of this and are beginning to preach it and walk in it and experience it. And you know what? To some of the rest of us, it doesn't seem fair. Because we've been doing this a long time. I mean, Glenn got saved, what year, Glenn? 19... Before I was born. I mean, he's been in this a long time.
Yeah, but you do better job teaching sonship than there you
go. All right, we have an example, he says. But we see in a parable, it talks about in the end time, how there will be those that will go out to labor in the harvest field. Some go out at the beginning of the day, some go out in the middle of the day, and some go out in the end of the day. And what does the parable tell us? It says that they all get the same wages. They all get the same prize. It does not matter whether we started in 37 or 65 or 90. If you're seeing and experiencing the call and are faithful to it as Jesus presents it to you, you're not going to receive any less than the person that has been in this since 1937. You'll receive the same thing. That's the way it's different in the kingdom than it is in the natural realm. We can all be partakers of the same prize. We can all receive the same. The call is given to each one of us. I want you to look over in Galatians. Let's read these different scriptures here. I don't know if this is the one I'm thinking of, but we'll find out when we read it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. No, that's not the verse I'm thinking of, but we'll read it. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. See? That we might receive, does it say in the King James, the adoption as sons? All right, that we might receive the full rights. I believe it's to everybody. I personally think that to whoever will hear it and receive it, we are given the right to enter into that place as fully mature. Some will not take that. Some will be saved, but they won't come into this place of maturity, but I believe it's given to whosoever will receive it. Let's turn to Ephesians 1. In love, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons, to be placed with full rights as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. He has called us. You are here this morning. It is His will for you to come into this place of full maturity. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, just before Jesus ascended, He said, "All power has been given Me in heaven and earth." And He imparted it to His disciples. All of that same power has been given to you this morning, if you'll take hold of it. You know, you wonder, sometimes we think, and I stress this here, when God delivers you, it's not just so that you will feel good, it's not just so that you will get along better at home, so that you will think more clearly, whatever your particular situation might be and what your problem has been, He delivers you, He sets you free, that you will impart it to others. Jesus invested all that time in those 12 that He picked, and then He said, all power is given to me. He had breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He did it so that they would go and make disciples of the whole world. And He's done the same for us. He's delivered you. You have a responsibility to the Lord this morning to give what He's given you. Anybody say amen to that one? And you can do that before you even come into that place of full maturity. I don't believe I have come to full maturity. Very honestly, I don't believe the rest of you have come to full maturity this morning. But I want to tell you something. I see the realm here that we can enter into and that we can walk into and that we will walk into if we will receive it and believe it and do everything to apprehend that. There's all kinds of things that would come to get our eyes off the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. All kinds of things that would want to get our eyes off it. There's things I can see that happen to me all the time that would want to get my eyes off that mark. Usually, first of all, and probably with you too, it's just the little mundane things. You know, when I was a young Christian, I thought that my previous sins would keep me from entering in to the fullness of God. And the devil was really getting me down with this. And so I wrote my former pastor a letter. That was the pastor. I started going to that little church in Springfield. So I wrote Brother Britton a letter. I wish I had kept it. I wish. I kept it for years. And one day when I was in a throwing out mood, I just got rid of things, you know. But I wish I had kept it. Because this is back in 1968 that he wrote me this letter. And I was so worried that my old sins would keep me from being an overcomer. And he said, listen, Linda, he wrote this, he says, it's not your past sins that are going to keep you from being an overcomer and from being a full-grown son. He said, it's present sin and unbelief that will keep you from entering in. And I'm reading this, and then he says, he prays a prayer there. He says, Lord, make Linda an overcomer. And I thought, praise the Lord. And many times I've gone back and I've thought about that. It's not our old sins. It's not your old sins that are going to keep you from being an old, even your sins from yesterday. If you've repented, it's not going to keep you from entering in. It's that present sin or unbelief that will keep you from entering in. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that we don't have to live under that cloud. It's one, the most extreme situation that you may have been in and maybe even been a partaker of cannot hold you from being an overcomer. Death can't hold you. Sin can't hold you. Jesus has put a nature in you that groans and longs to be placed as a full-grown son. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you are adopted, your nature doesn't change at that point. When your nature has already been changed. Your nature was changed as a child, being born into the kingdom. Your nature was changed right then, so that you didn't want to sin anymore. If you still want to sin, you may sin, but if you still want to sin, something's wrong. When you are a child of God and been redeemed by the blood, you don't want to sin anymore. And when you do sin, you say, oh Lord, forgive me. We run to the altar, wherever our altar might be, and say, oh Lord, cleanse me again with your blood. That is the nature of one who has been born again. And we keep running for cleansing every time we sin. So your nature has already been changed when you're placed in that place of full maturity. Some of you here, little Miss Hess, you know what? I would like to see you really get a hold of this. And I'm believing God for you that you're going to get a hold of this vision and let God really use you. How would you like that? Even though you're young, the rest, you other two girls, I don't know your names. Get a hold of the fact that Jesus doesn't want you to stay an adolescent in your thinking. But He would like to take you in this end time hour, and He would like to mature you, and use you and for you to get a glimpse of what Jesus wants to do through you in this end time. The oldest one here this morning, whoever that may be, without naming names, hallelujah, that you and I, and I'm probably the second, or there's Brother Dobler back there, and we're not going to ask for ages this morning, but I'll tell you what, from the oldest to the youngest here, that we will have a, we'll get a hold of this truth that God wants to place us as full-grown, mature sons in the end-time vineyard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Raise your hands this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord. Ribobo koranda la baba kasharandai. Lego lobo kora la baranda la baba. For the Lord says that I have been speaking to you, and I have been speaking to you. Many times I have spoken to you. Many times I have dealt with you. Many times I have refreshed your memory of things that have, I have spoken to you in a previous day, and you have put your eyes on things that have taken them off the vision that I gave you in a previous day. And the Lord is saying to you right now that if you will take hold again and apprehend, and if you will grab hold and not let go, that you shall yet be partaker, even as your vision was in a previous day. Let not the things that have been around thee keep thee from taking hold. Let not the things that have been around you that have taken your vision off of that which I gave you keep you from taking hold. For I, the Lord, stand before you in this very hour. I stand before you this very moment. I will cause you to ride upon the high places in my presence. And I will invest in thee again. I will put within you again the oil of joy, the heart of gladness that you knew in a previous day. And I will cause the joy to flow over thy being. I will cause the oil of my spirit to flow out of you as you apprehend and as you take hold of that which I gave you long ago. Oh, look no longer to the places where you've been even recently, but look to that call that I put within thee and know that it is still there, and in my mercy I am calling you and saying, take hold, for I will bring you into that place if you will take hold. Hallelujah. I believe God is speaking to one person in particular right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, our prayer for each one this morning is that we will take hold and that we will allow the workings of the Spirit of God in our lives to do that work that is necessary, that we may be placed as full-grown sons in this end time, and that, Lord, we will walk as you walked, we will do as you did, and that, Lord, we will... you've called us to bring in the harvest in this end time. And Father, I pray that each one of us will be obedient and take hold of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands. Just worship Him. Handarabo Kuriara Bahaya. Ribabarandala Bakurandala Bahaya. Fushandri Mahaya Karandala Bakuranda. Babarandale Bakushara Balakaranda. Helen, I believe the Lord is saying to you this morning that the solitary place shall be made glad. And though you felt that you have been in a desert, and how could this word even apply to you? And how can it come about in the place where you are? God is saying that He shall cause His overcoming power to rise up strong in the midst of your household, and in the midst of your community, and in the midst of the place where you felt that you have not even had fresh water to drink. God is saying that the water of His Spirit shall flow up from out of your innermost being. And the water of the Spirit shall sustain you. And the water of my Spirit, says the Lord, shall cause you to be refreshed and cause you to thirst no more. But know that in the place where you are, though it would seem that the enemy would be the one that wanted to prosper, the Lord shall prosper in you and shall cause you to say the overcoming word and to know the overcoming power of His Spirit in that very place. In that very place where your feet walk day after day, He shall cause you to know the reality of the word that you've heard. So rejoice, for this is not a time of death, but it's a time of life and of coming forth of My Spirit within you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. We can all take that this morning for ourselves in the place where we are. Let's just worship Him some more. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Out of my innermost being, rivers of life shall flow. Out of my innermost being, joy celestial flow. Out of my innermost being, banishing all of my fear. Out of my innermost being, Jesus the Christ appears. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, I thank You that You're not sexist or biased, that Your word flows to each one of us individually as we open our hearts and our spirits to receive. We may be that which You have us to be and that which You can make of us as we give ourselves unto You. Lord, that that which You've called us to, that we may fulfill that calling. We may be that which You've called us to in this hour, and men may know that Jesus lives, because He lives by the authority of the word that You've given to each one of us, that He is Lord. And then in His name, Father, You said, and Jesus, You said in Your name, we should take that place of authority, that men may know that Jesus rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of His people. And we should put Satan underfoot and bind his power and set the captives free. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We thank You and we praise You for it, Lord. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us, Lord, to have faith to believe. Help Your word to arise within us, Father, as we face tomorrow. That we shall face it in joy and rejoicing, knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. To Him be glory and praise. Father, I thank You for that You said that to those who are least is also to those who are great. And those who came first, Father, receive the same as those who came last. And Father, we thank You that You're no respecter of persons. And help us not to be jealous in any way, but to rejoice, Father, in those that You arise in this hour and this day to declare that Thou art Lord. And I praise You and I thank You, Father, for the word that You've given unto Linda, for the ability, Lord, to express the manifestation of Your power and Your glory that You wish to show forth to Your people. Lord, that we may become full-grown adult sons and daughters for the kingdom. Father, that we may walk and move in Thy Spirit, knowing that as we do, that the manifestation of Your glory shall come forth. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being and receiving Your presence and Your glory in our lives. That we may, in these days that lie ahead, in this hour, the fulfillment of the prophecies of all the ages, Father, we thank You that as we live in this hour, that we'll be faithful, declaring and making known that Jesus is Lord, that to Him is glory and honor and praise and dominion forever and ever. And unto Him, Father, I lift my praise, and unto Jesus I give glory. And Father, this week, these days that lie ahead, may it be days of rejoicing and glory as we stand forth here in ministry, Father, and in praise and worship, that the anointing of the glory of the Holy Ghost shall flow and move in our midst. We shall see the Shekinah glory of Your majesty as we gather together for the praise that we bring unto Thee. Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for watching over those that are traveling. I thank You for a safe trip for Luella. Father, I praise You for being with her and for others that are traveling as she has. Father, that Your glory and Your presence shall travel with them and they shall rejoice in Thee.
I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you for it. Amen, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise. I think we still ought to sing a chorus or two. Amen, amen. I don't know what, Linda.
The presence of the Lord is in us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it again out of my innermost being. Out of my innermost being, rivers of life shall flow. Out of my innermost being, thank you, Jesus. Joy shall light your flow. Amen. Out of my innermost being, hallelujah. And it's she all of my fear. Out of my innermost being, Jesus the Christ appears. Out of my innermost being, rivers of life shall flow. Out of my innermost being, joy celestial flow. Out of my all of my fear, out of my innermost being, Jesus the Christ appears. I want to stress it again this morning. Not past sins that will keep you out of the best God has. You take hold, it's not the past. Hallelujah. Some of you have been under a cloud because of past sins. Yeah. But it's embracing what He has right now. Amen. Hallelujah. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray, Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We are standing. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Love is flowing like a river. Amen. Flowing out to you and me. It's the end of the year. It's a time when we think about new beginnings and all of that. I don't know what different ones. I mean, some of us know each other quite well, but some of the rest of us don't. Don't know what your problems may be or may have been. But you know, right now we can just take the mercies of the Lord and let Him forgive you, cleanse you, and we can begin to face the days before us with anticipation and hope of what God is going to do. You know, if you need a special touch, if you feel that there's something that's been standing between you and the Lord this morning, and you need to experience a cleansing of His blood, just make an altar where you stand right now. Just reach out to Him. Just lift your hands and receive from Him right now as we sing. His love, His forgiveness is flowing out to you and me this morning. I need His forgiveness this morning. We all need His forgiveness this morning. Hallelujah. Let's just receive it. Love is flowing like a river. Flowing out to you and me. Love is flowing like a river, flowing out to you and me.
Don't you hear the trumpet sound? It's the year of Jubilee. All the captives are set free.
Hallelujah. 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 There's a song about that. Hallelujah. Oh, brethren, can you hear the trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to everyone who has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you see, it is the year of Jubilee. Wave your branches high and set the captives free. Oh, brethren, amen, can you hear the trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to everyone who has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you it is the year of Jubilee. Raise your branches high and set the captive free. Oh, brethren, can you hear
the trumpet sound, bringing liberty to everyone who has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you see, it is the year of Jubilee. Raise your branches high and set the captives free. Once more. Oh, brethren, can you hear the trumpet sound, bringing liberty to everyone who has been bound? Don't you hear, can't you see, it is the year of Jubilee. Raise your branches high and set the captives free. We can take that every for every one of us, that this is our Jubilee year. But I'd like to say especially to Jennifer back there, that Jennifer, I believe that this is a Jubilee year for you. I believe the Lord is telling me that you are going to see changes in your own life this year, and you've been asking the Lord for direction, wondering where you fit into things, what His will for your life might be. And God is saying that in the months ahead, things are going to come into focus for you. And you're going to get the direction that you've been looking for. So you can lift your hands and sing it with us. This is your year of being set free. Let's sing it. Oh, brethren, can you hear the trumpet sound, bringing liberty to everyone who has been bound? Don't you hear, can't you see, it is the year of Jubilee. Raise your branches high and set the captive free. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's another song we haven't sung here very often. It's He Has Come. I think you have it, Patty. He Has Come. Shout for joy, for He Has Come. Hallelujah. Goes like this. He is come, He is come. Shout for joy, for He is come. All the trees and the fields shall clap their hands. All the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing. For joy the Lord is.
Forth into joy, oh my soul. Break forth into joy, oh my soul. my garden.
Oh, my soul, in the presence of the Lord, there is joy
forevermore. The presence of the Lord, there is joy forevermore. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the joy of my
soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We can have the joy this morning of the Lord because he saw the joy that was going to be before him. Amen. I'm glad he saw that. I'm glad he could be obedient to that. Amen. We can have the joy of the Lord this morning.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord
is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Oh,
the joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
For the joy of the Lord is my strength. For the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Oh,
the joy of the Lord is my strength.
He gives me living waters and I thirst no more.
He gives me living waters and I thirst no more.
Oh, he gives me living water and I thirst no more.
He gives me living water and I thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord
is my strength.
The joy of the Lord
is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
If you want joy, you can leap for it. If you want joy, you can leap for it. If you want joy, you can leap for it. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you want joy, you can clap for it. If you want joy, you can clap for it. If you want joy, you can clap for it. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord
is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
If you want joy, you can shout for it.
If you want joy, you can shout for it.
If you want joy, you can shout for it. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord who reigns in wisdom and in power. Bless the Lord who reigns in my life. So
End of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.